Pledge of Allegiance. We have certified in the world we see about the,
Kathy, can we do roll call?
Yeah.
Bill Cover.
Here.
Jeff Jones.
Here.
Bruce Sutter.
Here.
John Dashner.
Here.
Sharon Tobias.
Here.
Dan Crosby.
Here.
There.
There we go. Sorry. I need to do
something. That's better. I can hear you better. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Perfect.
Here.
Okay.
Happy to the rest of the present.
Also present with us is legal counsel Andrew Ramos. I always get, general manager Tyler Mayo. Customer service representative Annalise Gill. Craig Lutz, our committee lead, and myself, Kathy Tall, office administrator.
Welcome. The first item is a public comment. Anybody has a question or make a statement or ask a question that's not on the agenda? Now is a great time. And hearing none, let's move along to the consent calendar. So those items on the consent calendar can be, are routine and can be enacted by one motion. Is there anything that anyone would like to discuss and have been removed from the consent calendar? Okay, hearing not, I need a motion to.
I'll make a motion we accept the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Motion carries. Oh, we need to vote.
Aye.
Aye. Alright. Dan, are you good with it?
Aye.
Alright, it's unanimous. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going. Tyler, you're fast.
Okay, so on to general manager's report.
First we'll go, I'm going to jump right back up to the charts that everybody approved and just kind of talk over them real quick. This one first is the usage chart. February of this year, we're down 4.4% from the usage from last year, so not a huge savings, but definitely lower than last year. And last year's totals were a 10-year low. So that's good. We're conserving even more. The other one is the well levels. Now that we're kind of ending, we're getting close to ending winter and start spring, the well levels have fully recovered from the summer. There was only a very small dip in it, went down to around 142 feet on the high level, and they're holding at 156, and that's about where we started last summer's well levels. Same well four, very little change. Everything's replenished and came right back up, even with the very little that it went down. So our water amounts that we have in the ground are really good. I think a big part of that is our agreement with CCWD.
This may be out of place, and if it is, just bump me out. I saw on the new California requiring water districts to accept mandatory conservation, and I saw CCWD was up to 27% savings in 5 years or so. But it said there were some districts that didn't have any requirements.
And we fall under that one. But if they did have a requirement for us, we have met it and exceeded.
All right.
Since it depends on which year they're comparing to. Currently, they're comparing to 2020 COVID year. And our reduction from that was around 34-35%.
And no notice of setbacks to us from CCWD due to these
No, we didn't see anything they would like us to take more water if we did. All right. So it's.
I wanted to add one point on this discussion too, because there's some new news on it as well. So as was being discussed, there's some significant urban water conservation cutbacks expected in California. There were some draft regulations from the State Water Board that had been out for a couple months that would have required for most urban water suppliers in the state very significant cutbacks over time at very significant expense, particularly in the later years when the conservation was ramped up. The State Board has actually rolled back some of the draft regulations. This happened yesterday. The new regulations, according to initial review, are much, much more workable for most suppliers. So the impacts of those cutbacks, at least with the current proposal, are again, as Tyler said, probably not likely to affect us in terms of flow down from CCWD. And that was good news for most suppliers because it would have been really, really expensive to comply with what was being circulated. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Currently, I'm working on the annual report that we have to do for the State Water Resource Control Board. It's called an EAR report. We have to do this every year to report everything that's happened in our system, maintenance. Yes.
So back on the water charts that you were just looking at, the next page, I think page 5, showed how much water we procured from CCWD, and there was a pretty healthy spike in February. Why was that?
So that was because the meter for CCWD up at Lila Park stopped working. We were only able to, if Kathy would scroll down just a hair more, we were only able to record like 369,000 gallons. Typically, it's somewhere around 3 million gallons. Because the meter just stopped working. So it took CCWD about 3 weeks to get out there and replace the meter and then have it start working again. And that's where you can see my note down below. The January CCW meter is not working correctly. We estimated 0.7 million approximately. So that's why you see that big drop and then big raise.
Okay. So are they going to charge us for that water or is that their loss?
No, that's their loss. They'll just charge us the base rate, but they probably lost around $500 and we gained about $500. So not a huge amount, but it's definitely some.
I want to report when he reported it to CCWD that their meter was not working.
Yeah,
and he had to prove it that it wasn't working.
Yeah, yeah, there was a whole issue with CCWD wanting to replace it because Mueller. Their meter company said that everything was working just fine. And I said, I beg to differ because it's the same reading every day and our tank is filling and dropping every day. So it's like, I had to prove to them that that was happening. And then they decided that they would go fix it. So it was a process. That's why you see that big drop and big spike back up in.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So going back, I'm working on our annual report that we typically do. While I'm doing that report, we have to do our consumer confidence report, which is the report most shareholders that might take a quick look at of our water quality and CCWD's water quality that they're receiving. And those will all be completed by April 1st. So that should be available to shareholders then. It's going to be noted on our board out front, our bulletin board, as well as it will go out in the annual packet, right? The shareholder packet.
Yeah.
The other thing that we're going to be starting here in April is our lead and copper testing. We have to do it once every 3 years. It covers homes that are pre-1986. And we have a list of those homes. We typically have the same 20 that we're able to go check. Just it depends on how cooperative the homeowner is and if they're coming up. That's usually our toughest thing. And it takes most of the summer for the guys to collect those 20 singles. So they'll be working on that. Another
part with lead that we have to deal with is the EPA put out that we all have to do a lead service line inventory. So all homes pre-1986, we have to physically go dig up the service line and show that it's not a leaded line, that there isn't lead in our subdivision. The guys will also be working on that this summer. In the office, we've been working on it for the last few weeks. So something that's going to continue into April and probably take a large portion of the summer. That report will be due in October.
You don't do that every 3 years, do you?
No, this one's a new one that they're mandating all the water companies do. So it's going to be fairly expensive. I don't know how the EPA is going to handle receiving that from every water company in the nation, but we'll see.
Pre-1986. That would have been galvanized, though, wouldn't it? Is it?
Correct. And back then, it was more worrisome of solder and copper.
Oh,
it would have been lead. That was removed, and there was no more lead in galvanized, but galvanized never really had.
Right.
In it. Okay. It'd be fittings probably associated with galvanized. Typically, it's at the foundation of homes. This is where they put lead back in the 1900s. So when the house moved, there's flex with the house moving break their water lines. Currently, they use copper.
Right.
That's all that problem.
Right.
So, those are things we'll be working on this summer. The field staff has been working on the preparations for taking tank six offline to do the maintenance that we need to do to it. It's taking quite a bit to get it all figured out because that is the heart of our system. When we take it offline, there will be a reduced use on everybody throughout the system. So that's why we're trying to do it either before Memorial Day or it'll be after Labor Day. We're trying to stay out of our window when most of our users are here and hopefully not cause a problem with them having to cut back so much water during that time period. We're working with CCWD to accomplish this as well, if they had to do it last year when they took a lot of their tanks to offline. The other is, I've been talking to Brian or Larry, and we're both thinking that in May, we're going to hopefully start the BoroCorp project. Should only take around a week to 2 weeks to finish, and then they'll finalize that paving, and we'll have accomplished our projects that we wanted to do before Unit 13. That project consists of 7 service boxes and around 160 feet of 2-inch main pipe. So that's the end of the report.
I talked to Jeremy.
Yes.
Said that they got the repeater on the tank.
No, they have it finalized so they can do it. They sent me the contract back this morning. So I still have to sign it, and then they have to pay the little bit of money, and they can hang, it's a very small antenna, luckily, that they're going to hang on the side of tank 4. So they have a repeater so they can talk on their radios down to flying.
Yeah, I know they were thrilled.
It's something they've been working on with us for years, and it just got put on the back burner for, I would say, 2 or 3 years. And now that they have a new general manager and Jeremy taking over on the maintenance, they would like to accomplish it.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Tyler?
Yes?
One other question about CCWD. Whatever happened to that?
You muted yourself, Dan.
Dan, you muted yourself. I lost you for a sec.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, can you hear me now?
Yep.
The concept of buying more water rights from CCWD, whatever happened to that?
Well, since we've put in the new pipe, our usage has dropped dramatically to where we didn't need to purchase more consumption from them. It's going to be somewhere around $1 million to purchase more capacity, and they were wanting to
purchase
another 100,000 a day, which we would never use that much water. So our base rate would go up for what we're paying CCWD for every month. So we have decided to push that back, and we don't need to purchase more water from them. So we're staying well under our agreement currently.
Okay. I just didn't remember why it went away.
Yeah. No, it's just it's kind of, we haven't needed it, so no, there's no reason to spend $1 million if we don't need it.
Makes total sense. Yeah.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay, so new business, as our discussion to fill the vice president director vacancy. We have a few options laid out in the bylaws. We can, the board can direct somebody to fill that position for the rest of the term, which would be till June of 2025. Right? We can add it to the election that we're currently moving to get candidates for. We can add a fourth spot for a 1 year term. Or we just go without a board member for a year to select from the job. Is there anything? I
believe those are our choices.
So, even if we decide to just let it wait till June and see if we get enough candidates, whatever, we still need a vice president. We need someone on the board to, change their position on the board to be vice president or move from secretary treasurer to vice president for the meeting and secretary treasurer. So, because if something happens to me,
no. And just to say that the term for being vice president will only go until June.
Yeah.
And when we have the annual meeting, that's when we re-elect officers again.
We yeah.
You're talking about 2024 June, right?
Yeah. For 3 months, we need vice president to,
So you would make him an acting vice president for 3 months or something like that?
Yeah.
You gotta have an officer. Right.
We can all have an officer.
His term is up next year. Is that what you said?
June 2025.
Okay.
So, I was curious from the board, what if you had thoughts about how to fill that position, or if we should. I don't know. I hope we've gotten any candidates.
Yeah.
Have you
gotten
anything in your mailbox? No.
Yeah.
It says, yeah. We just sent the letter out 2 weeks, yeah.
The letter.
With the
calling for
candidates and the vote. Mm-hmm. And not to vote, but calling for candidates,
yeah. How many are expiring?
Three. This year. We have two people. We're going to have a three-year terms for two people and 1 2-year term for one person.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we're going to stagger them.
And who are they? So it's you, Jeff, it is John, and it's Bruce.
Yes.
And then with the resignation, we have a fourth of the community. And are you going to continue? Or?
I'd rather not, although I'm open to suggestion.
We have this 1 year term. So.
The 1 year term is
Andy. That's Andy. Yeah. So.
You were talking into that. I was thinking with Andy leaving.
I'd hate to see you go.
I second that. So.
I hated this. When I heard the news about Andy, I was devastated. When it happened to, when Bill, it's been devastating every time we lose somebody.
And I was the backup for Andy, so it makes a little sense that I would stay on. But I don't want for you. I'd rather not have 3 years. I'll take 1 year.
Okay. We can leave that open.
Can we appoint Bruce? Does he have to run, or can we just appoint him at the end of his term to be that fill that position for a year? What do you think?
You're saying Sharon, can you clarify? You're saying make a later appointment for Bruce once his term is over and appoint him to the still vacant seat vacated by Director Rich. Did I get that right?
Yeah. I don't know if that makes
sense. You could do that, yes.
Or we can have you run for the 1 year. Yeah, all that. I like that idea. You run for 1 year and then...
Okay, that's not on the... Well, for example, this.
But we can add it to the mailing packet, the ballot, when we send it out.
I plan on staying.
Thank you.
What about you? I've already spent my road.
So we'll have two running for 2 or 3 year terms, right? And then we just have one more spot to fill. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the odds are that the incumbents will get to stay. You know, I mean, that happened last time.
For yeah.
A lot of times we had to call for the fucking vote, actually. Yeah, agitate people too, but we didn't have
a right.
But we lowered the range to 25%, right?
20.
We lowered
it from 25 to 20.
Right, Andrew?
Yes.
Yes, correct.
I believe that's right. It's the lowest allowable by law.
I don't think our Airbnb owners vote. They don't care.
Right.
They just want their paycheck. Good night.
So I think we have a fairly good idea of what we're going to do to fill this vacancy. But out of the three here and Dan, we have somebody that wants to fill the vice presidency officer role for at least 3 months. May have one meeting that you might have to.
You might be ready for the May meeting.
The May meeting, but beyond that, you won't have to.
So do we need to vote nominate Bruce for vice president?
Yeah, I'll nominate Bruce.
All right.
I second.
Let's do a roll call.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, Ryan. I need a call for a
All right. Okay, roll call for Bruce to be vice president through June. Bill Cover.
Yay.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
John Dashner.
Yes.
Dan Crosby.
Yes.
It was like, nobody noticed me here. Well, thank you, Bruce. Thank you very much. Okay. All right, the next item is the Citizens Annual Meeting date, time, and place. And I'll let you.
And I had talked to Thomas over at the HOA, and their meeting is going to be held on June 8th at 10 a.m., last year we did it on a different Saturday and we had a couple shareholders that weren't very happy about that. They came up to attend their meeting and our meeting on the same date. That's what we typically do. So what I was proposing was we do June 8th and we'll choose 1 o'clock. That way they can finish their meeting. They can have their lunch that they want to have over there and at 1 o'clock come this way to attend our board meeting.
Okay, so the HOA is at 10.
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking if we go after that, otherwise we'd have to start very early before the forum. So
right,
and we'll have it here.
So
I have a wedding to attend.
Mm. Is it yours?
It's my daughter.
Oh, no.
Santa Barbara.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. I'll nominate you for something.
Yeah.
It happens when
you don't show up.
Yeah.
So that
would be
two. I
have
to think
one
thought about it.
Could do. I mean, give people more time. But.
Yeah, maybe one's a little early. Do you want to go to two?
Could
do. I mean, those are not that we're trying to discuss right now, is to figure out what date and time.
But if it was close, we maybe stand a better chance of staying.
Yeah,
but it should be frozen as well. Oh, they're back.
Yeah. Oh, no. Our internet is going in and out.
Probably from the wind.
Yeah, it froze up.
It's 2 for Wendy up here right now.
Maybe we need to repeat that. So we're thinking June 8th at 1 or 2 p.m. Did you guys hear that part?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody has a wedding.
Bill's getting married.
Yeah, Bill's daughter is getting married.
Oh, Bill's giving away his daughter.
Oh.
We have 2 shotguns, a new one and you got the old one.
And just a ready cut on my heavy end.
Ouch.
That'll be a big check.
Okay, so if everybody's in agreement, I think we could go to 2. It'll push it out. Give them plenty of time to eat and then get over here.
I was going to say, I think all the people are still eating at 1.
Okay. So we'll go June 8th at 2 o'clock
here.
Here at the office.
Or 2.
Will be our annual meeting, Mr.
Why don't you want to do it over there?
Well, because they're wanting us to schedule around them and go earlier and be done by before 10 o'clock. For us to hold our meeting and then appoint our officers, it usually takes around that 2-hour time period. And starting so early, that was what kind of was the conflict last year. And they wanted us to pay for the lunch, too. Right. They wanted us to pay half of the luncheon over there, which we kind of disagreed with, certainly. So that's why going back over there this year as well.
But why not have it at the club bus at 2 o'clock over there? Because people complained about not having the meetings together. They're going to complain about moving from the clubhouse to our office, won't they?
Yeah, sure they will.
Yeah, I'm open for whatever anybody wants to do. I just haven't worked that out with the HOA, and I'm assuming, even if we do it at 2, they're going to want us to pay half of the lunch.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of it, is we've never had to pay to be, or have our meetings over there, and they're wanting us to pay them to hold a meeting.
Then we'll do it.
All right.
So we're,
there's no other place that we can meet, like a separate little area or
a workout room.
Do
we have to vote on this? I don't believe so. It's just for deciding a meeting date and time.
Yeah, typically it's not a board action item.
Can we look at meeting appointments?
That is a possibility, but we definitely would be renting that as well. I don't know if they would just let us use it for free to hold a meeting up there.
It'd be free if we drank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save something for that part. I can ask law, but it is an idea.
Yeah.
We could change locations, but why don't we stick with the same time and date?
Okay.
And I'll look into locations. I'll talk to Snowflake, then I can talk to Bob over at Square Woods, and if either of those don't seem to be paying now, we'll hold it here. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll look into those 3 options.
Great. Thank you so much.
You know what? I take back what I said. I'm sorry, Tyler and Sharon. I'm looking at the bylaws, and if we're going to hold it on other than the first Saturday of the month, then the board does need to take action. So it is an action item to set the meeting for June 8th.
So I need a motion to move the meeting to June
8th. The annual meeting will be moved to June 8th at 2 o'clock at a location PBD.
Perfect. Yes, I like that.
Hey, you've got
an artificial. Yeah, just a suggestion. We have this prank room next door. Mm-hmm. And now that we've separated, so many people don't know that we have separated our mouth down at the lobby. The people have lived here for a period of time.
The firehouse does have a very large.
I really think that we should hold our meeting right here and announce it and have people come and become familiar with the office. It's easy. We have plenty of parking. And get us used to, where we are and what we do. It's like the voting aspect. We probably get a significant number to vote to get a majority. but let's familiarize. I mean, we were unified for so long, and then we got a divorce. And they want to charge us for using a room for 1 hour. No, you know, let's. I really feel that we should identify ourselves a little better. What point is
it? And just have it here in the.
Have it here in the dining room.
Did Sequoia Woods charge us when we had our dinner there?
Yes, they did.
Hmm. I will. And we're dealing with them with the Lions golf tournament too, and the.
Oh, it's June. They're going to be really busy.
We're not going to do it. Yeah. And they laid down the law. We can't bring wine anymore. We can't, you know, we've got to just stay.
What do you say to people?
This is Sequoia Wood.
You can't bring your own cork or bottle or?
Nope. I will ask still, but I'll send out an email once I find out from everybody what it might entail. To hold it somewhere else, but we will more than likely have it here in the next person.
I agree with John.
I do too.
For another moment, it's just TBD.
Look,
let's leave it as TBD.
So let me just second.
Oh, I second that we, whatever the
one, whatever he said.
Right. I think you have a nice report. He said 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Location TBD. Yes. We can serve water.
Because people, plenty of time at their free lunch and get over here.
Mm-hmm. All right, can we do a vote on roll call?
Bill Cover.
Yay.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Utter.
Yeah.
John Dashner.
Yay.
Sharon Tobias.
Yes.
Dan Crosby.
So, are we voting to make it on the 8th, or are we voting to make it on the 8th in the office? What is the motion?
The motion is to have the meeting here on June 8th, or not here, sorry, not
here.
Have the meeting on June 8th at 2 o'clock. The location is still to be determined.
That's okay. I want to make sure that was it. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you for the financial. Yay. So I took over Lee's position in November. So this was my first year-end review. I had a lot of help from Craig. Thank you very much. We talked several times and went over the review with me. And so I'm just asking you to accept the review as is. And if that's the case, then we also need to approve December and January financials that were pending the Atherton review being accepted. So if anybody has any questions about the review or the financials that go with it.
And I read through them last month, and I had a couple questions, and a couple minor adjustments were made. Nothing significant at all, but I'm comfortable with what's in there at this stage.
Made sure that all of our balance sheet and profit and loss numbers matched, and Craig double checked me more than once. We had a few phone calls, and so everything matches with their year-end review.
That's great. So we need a motion to approve the year-end review.
Mm-hmm.
To start.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion we approve a review.
Okay.
Second.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, great. Could you phone call?
Yeah.
More official.
All right, Dan Crosby, you're first to approve the Atherton year-end review for 2023.
Aye.
Sharon Tobias.
Aye.
John Dashner.
Aye.
Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bill Cover.
Yay.
And then the December and January financial.
Can we approve it in one motion?
I think so.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Andrew says yes.
Okay, so We need a motion to approve both the December 2023 and the January 2024 financials as presented in this packet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. When you're ready.
Bill Cover.
Yay.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
John Daxner.
Yay.
Karen Tobias.
Yes.
Dan Crosby.
Aye.
All right, motion carried. That's all. Thank you, everyone. You are next.
Okay. So correspondence. I've had a couple of shareholders that have some issues with our billing document service, our BDS. So we upload the bills to them. They send out the bills for us, and then they also receive the payments. And I've had a couple of shareholders whose cards, the auto pay is not working on their cards, and so they've asked us to eliminate the penalties and interest. So I just need to know the board's position on the penalties and interest, as far as when I can adjust them off, or if I have the authority to adjust them off when somebody's having issues with their credit cards with our billing service, because they're not like all the other billing services. Like some people, like Sharon was saying, her credit card was frauded, and the new company automatically uploaded all the numbers with our billing service, or with other billing service, that ours does not work that way. They're like a closed off, separate, other companies can't get in there. So unless a shareholder goes in there and does it themselves, it doesn't get done. And so a couple of people have had penalties and interest because their card company is telling them that everything's been updated, but our document billing service doesn't work that way. So what is your position on me being able to dust off penalties and interest if there's an issue like that?
How much money are we talking about?
About $12, $12 to $13, because it's a $10 penalty, late penalty, and then a couple dollars for interest.
Okay, and of course, you're freaking out.
It's not much of an issue, but when I first started working here, Lee said that the board was in charge of whether the penalties and interest were adjusted off, and so I've tried to follow that for the most part. So I just want to know for sure from here on out, where do I stand and where does the board stand in that circumstance?
Well, it's like a no mistake of us and no mistake of them. And it's the computer error, then you have to make that determination whether or not.
It's the billing service.
Well, no, on that particular incident, but in some instance, but if you do an investigation, you just document that, you know, the card was expired and they didn't update, you call and they give you a new card, then yeah, but if that means there's no fault on either side.
Yeah.
And most
if you have to kind of just write down there's no fault on either side.
Most people will pay the penalty and interest because they're like, oh, I got a new card and I totally forgot to upload it. And they realize it's them. So I bring it up today because I have one shareholder that was told that their card was updated in our system, but our system doesn't do that. So she would like the penalty and interest written off.
I would say yes as long as you fix it. I make a motion that we give you the authority to
use your own judgment
and involve it. That's the motion.
It's consistent with happening.
You heard that. You put it out the authority.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might want to put an upper limit on $100.
It won't ever be that much.
Maybe it's cumulative, like $100, or $50 a shareholder or something. Or
yeah, you can get them on the price.
Yeah. Okay.
And typically that's the way we try to operate it. If it's right near crossing of the due date and we receive something or they call us, we usually take care of writing it off or
releasing it.
But when it's months late or it's habitually happening every month or every other month, we typically say no.
So, well, that's their history. And I see if this is an issue or they've been leaned or we have trouble with them, I usually, sorry, it's not in my power to, and they'll just pay it. So I do research. I don't just listen to them. And since I've been here long enough, I know a lot of them. And I talk to them. So, you know.
So why are you looking at me?
Well, actually, when we're talking about accounts,
junior relations.
Yeah.
I call for the vote.
What is the motion?
Yeah, make the motion.
It's on the agenda to make a motion.
So we can discuss it and we give direction without a motion?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I think we're looking for.
Want me to deal with.
So, well, I would just say, you know, personal judgment. And,
okay.
On determining whether or not it was a mistake on of no fault of ours, no fault of theirs.
Well, our billing service is a little bit different. Sorry, Bruce. Our billing service is a little bit different as far as how they receive
payment. I agree. But it's a little different than, you know, Citibank.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked. It's okay, mm-hmm. And it gets the bill paid for me, because that's what I do. I forget to pay them if they're not auto pay.
Nothing.
I was just asking if you feel empowered now.
Never be the emperor of Rome.
No.
So maybe Annalise or Kathy on
the receivables.
So report on monthly billing, invoice, and receivables.
So we billed our first of the six billings for this year, and our new standard base rate for 2024, which is billed every 2 months, is $199,923.50. And our standard, the USDA loan amounts are together are $71,282.75 every 2 months. The metered water, the over the allotment came to $5,271.39. Annual lot fees, which are billed once a year in February, come to $1,150. And we have one lien paid off for $8,340, which was good.
That's great.
Yeah, they all paid them off. Nice.
Anything else?
Well, that's perfect. That was perfect. Thank you.
And then under reportable items, there was, from the end of the last meeting, finalized giving the final budget to all the board members. I believe everybody received it back end of December or just after January. Kathy, is that right? Didn't take very long to get the finalized budget out to everybody. So if anybody still doesn't have it or needs another one, just let us know. You can email another one ever.
And then I think our new reportable board item is going to be to determine the place for the annual meeting.
Sure.
Right, so that's about
matter? Yeah.
Okay.
And then we need to adjourn to
exactly.
Do we have access to the bank?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We stopped having meetings over there because there's a large echo in the room. And when we were doing hybrid meeting, most of the people that were on Zoom, all they could hear was this large echo because we're under a low hanging roof and then it pops out to a very high rise ceiling in there and just echoes like a cave that we're sitting underneath that little ceiling.
Yeah, like paper shuffle, that's all the people on the phone heard.
Mm-hmm.
So God forbid if 8 or 10 customers show up, we can't do it here.
We'll have to do it in there, and whoever's on Zoom will just have to deal with the echoing that has popped up.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn to executive session.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, I'm going to stop recording before we find it.